ask you, please, would you turn in the Word of God to Psalm 46. I want to read a few verses of Psalm 46, a well-familiar psalm, and we'll be coming to look at this psalm just in a little while. But Psalm 46, and the verse 1, it says in the Word of the Lord, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Wherefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. In the fire, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his own precious word to all of our hearts. If we can again, please turn in the Word of God to that psalm in which you read, Psalm 46. And with the Word of the Lord open, let us again ask the Lord that he'll come and help us as we come today to bring forth his precious word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come again to thee, and we thank thee for these wonderful hymns that we have been singing together. Lord, we thank thee for the old hymns of Zion that mean so much to us. And Father, it is our earnest prayer that in these days in which we live, that, O Father, that thou would give to us old-fashioned meetings, with old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned conviction. Father, we do pray and we thank thee for thy word indeed, Lord. We thank thee for how it has been preserved, how it has been handed down from generation unto generation. And we do rejoice today that we have thy word in our own mother's tongue. And Lord, as we now would turn to thy word, we ask thee, O God, that thou wilt fill us with thy spirit. Lord, what are we? We're only the clay, but Lord, thou art the potter. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt fill this vessel and take us and hide us far behind the cross, that, Lord, none other will be seen save Jesus only. Lord, may thy word come as a word of encouragement. May it come as that word of rebuke or chastisement, whatever that word is that we need today. Lord, may thy word be applied to our hearts. That, Lord, we'll leave this meeting here today saying it was good for us to be here, for here we've met afresh with the Lord. Bless us now and bless thy word as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whenever Roger asked us to come and to bring the word to you today, the Lord laid this psalm very definitely upon my heart. The last time we were here last year in August time, we took and looked at that verse in Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And ladies and gentlemen, I feel so much that in this day and age in which we live, that God's people need so much encouragement. You turn around, you turn to the right hand, you turn to the left, and all you can see is corruption, confusion, and deceit. And ladies and gentlemen, we, you and I today, we seem to live in a very crooked, ungodly generation. But we praise God today that where sin abounds, grace doth abound much more. And I know today that there are many in this meeting today, and your hearts are heavy. Your hearts, there is those who have sorrow in their hearts. But this Psalm 46 was written for our encouragement. And no matter how often you read Psalm 46, no matter how often you turn to it, either in your deepest and darkest hour, or either in the midst when all things are going well, still this psalm means so much to the people of God. We live in a day, as I said, that is full of corruption. We live in a day that is full of so much wickedness, so much evil. And yet if you go down this psalm and you come to verse 10, the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is sovereign. And God is still in control. And God is still on the throne. And no matter how bad and dark and bleak things are, God still reigneth. He still reigns. And he's still in control. Ladies and gentlemen, this psalm is known as a song. It was a song. It was written by Israel, by those in Israel. And you get the background of this psalm in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and the verse 20. You find how this psalm was written when David and Israel were compressed by their enemies. And how that God wrought a great victory. And how David then brought back the ark and replaced it within its rightful place. On the way back, David got the musicians to gather together. And David asked them to brush out into song. And the almost began to sing. And those men that sang were virgin men. They were men of great purity and of great pureness of heart. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to speak to you and I. That when we come to the house of God, and when we hold our hymn books within our heart, within our hands, that we begin to sing with that pure heart that is dedicated unto the Lord, and to lift up our voices, and to praise God with all our soul and heart and might. For you know, the Lord have done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. And as David and those returned from battle, they began to burst forth into song and to praise the Lord for the great victory that God had wrought. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are many go out to battle today. And there are many victories that are won, but very few ever turn to give glory unto the Lord. And so, ladies and gentlemen, whenever the Lord grants you and I a victory in the work of God, whether it be in gospel missions, whether it be in service for Christ, and there's great blessing and great victory wrought, we ought to turn to the Lord and give the Lord all of the glory. But not only was it the song and psalm of Israel, it was the song and psalm of the great Protestant founder, Martin Luther. Psalm 46 was well known as Luther's psalm. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the other day in my study, I was sitting down preparing and thinking upon the life of Martin Luther. And I often thought how this wee man stood up for God and became so mighty in the hand of God. You see, Luther was a Roman Catholic. He was a monk. And he was studying in the monastery. And it was dark. And remember, in Luther's day, there wasn't much electricity. There was no computer. All he had was a flashlight and a little candle. And as Luther began to study, God lit up that little monastery. And the light of the gospel shone into that wee Roman Catholic man's heart. And Luther saw that the just shall live by faith. He saw that it was not by works or by any good deeds of the church. But Luther saw that salvation was found in Christ alone through the blood of the Lamb. And it was there in that little monastery that Luther gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It became known as Luther's psalm. And for many reasons why, and as I began the other day just thinking upon it and pondering upon it, you picture this wee Roman Catholic monk, born again of the Spirit of God, and realizing how the doctrines of Rome is false and all is teaching, and the corruption that was within the church. And Luther stood back and said, I'm not going to stand for this anymore. And Luther there, he stood up for God. And Luther began to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I thought, this wee man, and as was told in our history books and taught many down through the generations, that Luther stood in a cauldron of worms. Think of this wee man of God as he walks into those great cauldron of worms. And they asked him to announce the teachings and the doctrines of the gospel. And Luther puts his hand upon Holy Scripture and he says, I can do no other. Here I stand. So help me God. You think of that day when Luther stood up and said, so help me God. He stood alone. He stood on his own. And when he stood up and said, so help me God, my friend, he stood up against the world. And he stood up against the church. And my friend, he proclaimed Christ as his Lord and Savior. Do you know what's wrong today? There's not enough standing up for God. There's not enough standing up for the truth of the gospel. We're too easy to run away when pressure gains. When people begin to laugh and sneer, we sort of hide back rather than coming forward like Luther and saying, I can do no other. Here I stand. So help me God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God's help in these days. We need to be strong for the Lord. We need to be speaking out with boldness for the Lord. We need to have courage and zeal and conviction in our heart for the Lord. Because when I looked at Martin and Luther, I had to say this. What courage this wee man had. What conviction there was in his heart and in his soul, knowing right well when he took his stand that day, he could have been nailed to the gallows and his life taken from him. But Luther stood. He stood with courage. He stood with conviction of heart and of soul. And ladies and gentlemen, it's there that I understand why that this Psalm 46 became so important to the great founder of the Protestant faith, because he knew there was times, as verse 2 says, wherefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He knew there was times when all the earth would be against him. He knew there would be times when there was great fear. But he says, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. He knew verse 5, very important. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at that right early. You see, my friend, he knew that all the time as he took a stand for God, that the Lord would help him. He'd help him. It was said of Martin Luther that whenever confusion or trouble came to his congregation or church, he would gather the people of God together and they would sing Psalm 46. They would sing. They would always turn in the midst of trouble to this psalm. And it's with that psalm today, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to quickly and shortly leave with you here this afternoon. Because you see, so many years on, the battle is still the same. The battle is still raging as it was in Luther's day. And ladies and gentlemen, we look how this psalm begins to burst out into song. It says, God is. And you notice, our God's not a small God. It's not a capital G that's given here, or a little g. It's a capital G that's given to the word God. And you know, it goes on to say, God is our. Ladies and gentlemen, he's our God today. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's our God. To those who are saved in this meeting today, he is our God. Did you ever sit down and think upon that? What did God ever see in me? A hell, guilty, deserving sinner. Deserved nothing more than the wrath and the punishment of God. But yet in his love and in his mercy, he saved me. That he plucked me as a brand from the burning and set my feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. As it says in the gospel, to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Isn't it wonderful that we are part of God's family? Not because anything that we have done, but what Christ has done for us. It's all through the blood and all through Christ. that we can stand here this morning and say, He is our God. He is our God. If you look down this psalm or song, you find it breaks up in three parts. You'll find the word Selah appears three times in this psalm. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, what that word Selah simply means is this: pause and think on that. Just pause and think what you've read. And if you take the first three verses, the Lord just says, just stop there and pause and just read. Just think of what you've read. Then read on down to verse 7. And then the Lord says again, just pause and think of what you've read. And then it reads on down to the last verse. Now just pause and just think of all of that. You know what's wrong, ladies and gentlemen? We have to be honest, and I'll be truthful with you too, is we don't take enough time to pause and to think upon the Word of God. If we're honest in this service today, we're so busy rushing about and looking after this and that, that we forget to be still and to know that He is God. Whenever the trials and the temptations and everything begin to crowd in round us, rather than turning to God, we turn to other things. But my friend, God says, listen, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of the raging winds, listen, be still. For I am in control. I am in control. I know that I am God. You know, is there one here today and you have to go and see the doctor this week and you don't know what the outcome of it's going to be? Is there one here and you're waiting words back on the test coming back and you're just waiting for what that word will be? There's anxiety there. There's worry in the heart. Yet the Lord comes to you today and He says, listen, be still. I'm in control. I know all about it. I'll see you through it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important, and especially to the young people in the meeting today, it is so important just to take the time and to be still and to know that He is God. Just take the time. Come apart and rest a while. Tells us there that to get alone with God, to get into the closet and shut the door. And thy heavenly Father that seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. My friend, it is a good thing to wait upon the Lord. There are three little words that I just want to leave with you very quickly as we come to the end of this message this afternoon. If you look at that verse 1 of Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we were to sit down today and I would encourage you in your own little study just to take those first two words, God is. Just to think of God is. God is faithful. God is almighty. God is holy. God is righteous. God is sovereign. God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning from the end. And to go on, we can go on. God is our Creator. And to keep on going down, we'll be here tonight just continuing looking just of what God is. And then we take that word, God is our. He's my God. He's my faithful God. He's my holy and righteous God. He's my friend. He's the one that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But when we come on over, we get a word and it says, God is our refuge. Refuge. The word refuge, it simply means hiding place. Hiding place. Isn't it good, ladies and gentlemen, to know that we can go to one and hide in Him? Just to hide in Him. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Think of that. Just pause and think of that. He's a strong tower. And the righteous runneth in
and hideth, and is safe, and is safe. And again, I bring the question to you, is there a storm in your life? Is the business not going the way it ought to be going? The children starting a new school, there's worry and anxiety about the future. The health is not what the health used to be. And the storms are raging around me. Thank God today we have a strong tower. We have a refuge and we can run in and we can hide and are safe. And that refuge is Christ. It's Christ. Do you know in biblical times, in the olden days, they would have built the tower. And the watchman would have sat upon that tower. And when he seen the enemy coming, he would have sounded forth the trumpet or the sound for them to retreat into the tower. And the whole village of that area would have ran and they would have got up into the tower. And they would have closed the door in that tower. And all who were inside that tower were safe. They were safe until the danger and the enemy had passed away. I remember when we were little children, we used to live on a farm, brought up on a farm, and we used to build little huts. Now I'm going to see a few smiles coming to the faces because we built huts all over the place. And we seen them as our wee hiding places that when the wrath of our parents was coming down upon us, we could run to one of those huts and we could hide in them. But the thing is, Mommy and Daddy knew where the huts always were. But nevertheless, we always felt that once we were inside that little hut, we were safe. It was our wee hiding place. Maybe if you just wanted to get away, you had a wee hut maybe down the field or somewhere in a tree or something. But it just felt safe. It just felt a little place we could just lay down and just know everything's okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's who our God is. He's a hiding place. A place where you and I can go and take refuge at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the mercy seat, and there hide in Him, knowing that our Heavenly Father is in complete control and everything is safe with Him. You see, your life is hidden in God. And it's hidden in Christ. And there's no man can pluck you out of His hands. Not one. And neither death nor persecution or whatever trials come, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. If you're in Christ today, there's nothing can separate you or I from the love of God. And today, ladies and gentlemen, God is our refuge. He's our hiding place. And the righteous run in and are safe. But not only is He our refuge, He's also our strength. You see it says, God is our refuge and strength. Not only are we weary, not only are we worn out from the battles, and especially in the Christian walk and life with the Lord, there comes many trials and temptations. There comes many times that we just need to get to that tower. We need to get to that refuge. But there all the time, as we draw alone with God, God gives us the strength. God gives us the strength. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't preach to you today if God didn't give me the strength. I'd have to be the first to admit it. I'd be down and right out the door and way back to Portadown. It's God that gives you the strength. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't go out onto the streets and witness to young people about the Lord Jesus Christ if I hadn't the strength of the Lord. When I first got saved, the Lord took me out of the coach in Balm Bridge, which was a disco hall. I began to learn, go along to my prayer meeting in the church, began to get fed and nurtured in the Lord, and all of a sudden I found myself standing back at the place where God took me from. And I'll never forget the day that Portadown bus rolled up to the coach inn door. And all of my past friends were all coming out of that bus. And I'll be honest with you before the Lord here, I wanted to hand the tracks back into somebody's hand and run up Banbridge Street as fast as I could go. And a brother in the Lord, he put his hand, he seen how I was looking and dodging to get away, and he put his hand and he says, "Stephen, you stand your ground. Stand your ground." And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? That night the Lord strengthened my hand in him. He strengthened my hand in him. You see, God gives us the strength to do whatever the task is he gives us to do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. You might be sitting here today and say, "I have loved ones and I'd love to get them under the sound of the gospel. I'd love to get them to meetings, but in that fear, I'm afraid to go and ask them." But my friend, look, bring it to the Lord in prayer and God will give you the strength to ask them and encourage them along to the meetings. You might think, "I can't lead youth meetings. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I couldn't go out onto the streets." My friend, take it to the Lord in prayer and God will give you the strength, because he says God is our refuge and strength. Our strength. That's where we get our strength from. When I am weak, he will strengthen me. Is that you today? Do you need strengthened? Do you need encouraged? And be like David, who got alone with God and encouraged his heart in the Lord as God. See, God gives the strength, ladies and gentlemen. God gives us the strength to overcome whatever you and I are facing today. Maybe you have to go to that hospital. Maybe you have to go under that operation table. My friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And while we're on that hospital bed, God will give us the strength. And if it's his will, he'll bring us through whatever we have to face. See, God is our refuge. God is our strength. But there's one final word here, and it says, a very pleasant help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, and a very pleasant help in trouble. You see, that word present simply means it's available at any time, it's continually there. His help is continually there. Whenever you need the help, the Lord's there. Right there. At that very moment to help. Let me say to the parents, and I'm a parent myself, to little children, you might say, "Lord, help me to raise my children up to the best that I can in this generation that I live. Lord, I can't do it without you. Lord, I need thy help." The Lord will help you. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher and you maybe have been a little bit discouraged. Maybe you haven't seen much fruit for your labor and you feel as if you want to give up and throw the towel in and run away. Take it to the Lord and say, "Lord, you've given me this little Sunday school class. Lord, will you help me? Will you help me?" Maybe there's a youth leader or youth leaders and we know what the difficulties there is in youth today and the many things that bombard our youth and our young people, and our young people need prayer. They need prayer. And maybe you asked, maybe you're a youth leader and you said, "Lord, I need you to help me here. I need you to help me to steer these young people in the paths that are right for thee." Maybe there's an older person and yes, you're finding the difficulty to get around and move about and be able to get about. "Lord, I need you to help." You know what's wrong, ladies and gentlemen? We so often try to do the thing ourselves rather than asking the Lord to help. You know, if we're honest before the Lord, we'll say, "Look, I can get through this all right. I'll just grit the teeth, put the bit in my mouth, and I'll try and fight my way through this the best I can." And there are many people like that today. Rather than admitting, "Lord, I need your help. I need your help." Ladies and gentlemen, that help is a very present help in the time of trouble. It's there when you need it. It's there and you're available. The moment you turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me," the Lord will come in and the Lord will help.
See, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at that right early. You see the church? The elders in the session know what the church faces every day. But may to you as a congregation in Coleraine, listen, what the Lord says to the church is this: God will help her. God will help his church. While the enemies today are raging all around about us and many are forsaking the ways of the cross, my friend, God is still in the midst of his people, and God will still help her at that right early. You see, he's the God of revival. God hasn't changed. What has happened is we have changed. The Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still is powerful, and he's lost none of his power. If we would but just turn and ask the Lord to help us. Oh, my friend, God is in the midst of his people. God is in the midst of his church. God will help her at that right early. To you as a congregation, may the Lord continue to help. May the Lord continue to bring in the unsaved around this area. May the Lord begin to bring conviction of sin and true repentance and faith in Christ alone. May God in this day turn our hearts to see a real revival. You know, I've read about revival. Yeah, still young, still in my early 30s, but nevertheless, I've read about revival. I've prayed for revival, but I want to see it. I want to see it. That's what I want to see. I want to see God move like he's never moved before. Some of the older generation in my congregation in Portadown can tell when God, in the early 70s, when the people walked the aisles, I never saw that. When people crying out in their pews under deep conviction of sin, fear to get up out of their seats, fear to leave the meetings, fear to die without Christ and go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, as a young person, I want to see that again. I want to see that again. You look across our province. You read in the paper yesterday, it grieves and vexes your heart. How can these men be put in the pulpits and yet so vile and so wicked? The blind leading the blind, no message to feed the flock. Oh, may God get us back to true, real religion again. Oh, God in the midst of his people. Oh, God coming into the house and the glory of the Lord filling the house. And those who walking by knowing in all of a heart, God is in that place. God is in the midst of her. God is helping her as she continues to sound forth the good news of the gospel. You know, I have a heart for Ireland too. I was talking to a good friend of mine who goes down in the train. And they go down to give out gospel tracts. And they meet many Roman Catholic people on the streets of Dublin. And he was just telling me the other day that sometimes when they go down, they always meet those of the Islam, and they would be maybe secretly hiding, giving out their doctrine. They said the other day they went down and they had a table spread out on the street. And there they were freely publishing their doctrine of Islam on the streets of Dublin, unchallenged, continuing to force that anti-God and anti-Christ gospel. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, may God help us in this day. May God help us to be true to his word. May God help us to be faithful in sounding forth the gospel. May God help us to win the lost for Jesus Christ, at whatever the cost, to go and to tell the lost of Jesus the mighty to save. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, God is our refuge. God is our strength. And God is our very present help in the time of trouble. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts today. We're going to turn in closing to 465.